So welcome to session one of the Mindfulness for Mental Health Carers. So this session today, we'll be looking at how mindfulness can help reduce stress and anxiety, particularly in challenging situations, and we'll try some mindfulness exercises. So let's start by acknowledging and celebrating the traditional owners of the countries we're all calling in from today. I live and work on beautiful Ngunnawal and Ngambri country and wish to pay respects to elders past, present and emerging, and also extending that respect to all elders and First Nations people across the country and present here today. We'd also like to acknowledge the work of mental health consumers, carers and advocates, past and present, who continue to work towards a reformed mental health system. Carers Australia and Simply Mindful are inclusive organisations who celebrate people of all backgrounds, genders, sexualities, cultures, bodies and abilities. So these sessions have been developed with mental health carers, and we're really grateful to the Mental Health Carers Advisory Group for their input. And these are part of a project seeking to promote and improve carers' wellbeing. So this project is delivered in partnership with Carers Australia, Mental Health Australia, Mental Health Carers Australia, with Simply Mindful, and it's supported by funding from the Australian Government Department of Health. Also really want to acknowledge what it's taken for you to make the time and space for this. So a really warm welcome to you all, and we hope you find this beneficial. So a little bit about me. I'm Megan, and I'm the director of Simply Mindful. I'm a mindfulness, meditation and yoga teacher, and I also teach things like positive neuroplasticity, self-compassion, mindful parents and more. I'm also a mental health social worker, and I've worked in mental health for almost 25 years across all ages and all walks of life. I first came across the research on mindfulness when I was heading up a medical and counselling team and trying to find better ways of supporting clients, families, staff and actually myself as well. And I can honestly say that mindfulness has been the most significant thing I've learnt about and that I've incorporated into my life, both personally and professionally. So I'm really honoured to be sharing some of this with you. A little bit about how these sessions work and how mindfulness works. So really take good care of yourself. Everything's voluntary, and just do what feels right for you. See if you can bring an attitude of openness and curiosity to whatever we're exploring. Mindfulness is a bit different to many other things in life. There's no way of passing or failing. There's no way of being right or wrong or being good or bad at it. So everything can be adapted to suit you. And really the curiosity is about, when I try this, what happens? And how might I adapt this to suit me and my life? Also, we really welcome your feedback. So please get in touch with through the email info@carersaustralia.com.au. or through the Carers Australia website if you'd like to give feedback. We know that mindfulness is beneficial, that it works, and we also know that it can be challenging. So when you finally pause and slow down, stuff can come up. So if you find that you need some support, there are contact details for free support services on the Carers Australia website, and you're welcome to get in touch with them. All right, so let's get into it. So mindfulness, what is it? It's simply the ability to be fully present, knowing what you're doing and being fully present to it as you're doing it. So if you're walking the dog, you're fully aware of what you're seeing, the wind in your face, the sound of your dog's breath, the sensations of walking in your own body. So rather than being caught up in the past, thinking about what happened before this or in the future, rehashing a conversation, worrying about something that's about to happen, you're just here in the moment, fully in touch with your experience. So mindfulness is sustained present moment awareness, and this present moment awareness is an innate human capacity. We can all already do it, but we tend to struggle to sustain it for more than a few seconds. So modern life and challenging circumstances, and particularly stress, tend to get in the way. Studies show that on average, adult attention spans in the year 2000 were about 12 seconds, and when they were measured again in 20 years later, they had reduced to 8 seconds, so that probably doesn't surprise you. But apparently a goldfish can pay attention for 9 seconds, so we're in a bit of trouble. So mindfulness practice grows our ability to choose where we place our attention, and often the present moment is actually the most important one to pay attention to. The reason it's so important is this moment is the only one we actually have. It's the only moment in which we can act, create, problem solve, influence, or change. We can't change the past. It's already happened. And the future hasn't arrived yet. And if COVID's taught us anything, it's that we can plan as much as we like, but we can never be certain what's going to happen. So I'm going to invite you right now to take a moment to reflect on where you've been in your head since you started listening to this, or maybe in the last hour or so. Perhaps you've been thinking about what happened before this, or what's coming after this. So research shows that we spend 50 to 70% of our time in our heads literally time traveling into the past or the future, and only 30 to 50% in the present. So if the present moment's the only one we can act in or influence, then increasing our ability to be more present more of the time, even by a small percentage, means that we actually have more of our intelligence, our resources, our creativity available to us to meet whatever is here, whatever's happening. So that time traveling capacity we have in our heads can be really useful and skillful if we're deliberately choosing to use it for a purpose. But quite often it's just ruminating. It's us getting caught up in, sort of sucked into this vortex and going over the same ground again and again. So mindfulness just helps us to be more fully present more of the time so we can see clearly what's happening and make the most of whatever opportunities are here, even if they're challenging. So one thing to know about mindfulness is that it's a way of training our minds to pay attention to whatever we choose to come back again and again. So it's a bit like training a puppy dog to heal, to come back instead of wandering off all the time. And it takes a bit of practice and persistence. And because it takes that practice, it can get a bit discouraging. So we try to bring an attitude of non-judgmental, open, kind curiosity to our present moment experience. It's the opposite of a defensive, closed or judgmental attitude. And this attitude actually helps to make change more possible. So it's good to know that even though mindfulness is natural, in some ways it's also counterintuitive. So we're hardwired to avoid pain. So we automatically try to avoid situations, emotions and contexts that we perceive as distressing or threatening. So when we train the brain with mindfulness, we're also training ourselves to notice when we're being avoidant and to learn to be more responsive and less reactive to whatever triggers the stress response in us. It's also good to know that when you train your attention, you're literally changing your brain. So practicing mindfulness is mental training. It's like trying to build a muscle. The more you practice, the bigger the mindful muscle gets, in inverted commas. It's not literally a muscle, but it works in a very similar way. So just like with exercise, anything's better than nothing. But if you can do it regularly, it really starts to make a noticeable difference. And the good news is that even small amounts of practice each day can make a difference. So let's take a quick look at what happens to us when we're stressed. Inviting you to take a moment to check in right now and just notice how you are. So you might like to check in with your body, noticing sensations in the body. Notice what's drawing your attention. Noticing what emotional tone is present, if anything. Noticing thoughts, what's on the mind, and noticing any behaviours or impulses to act. And inviting you to just rate internally how stressed or distressed you are right now from 0 to 10, with 0 being the most relaxed and calm you've ever felt, and 10 being the most distressed. Where are you right now? So that's a moment of mindfulness, just the ability to drop in and know our own experience at any given moment and really be present to it. So a little bit about the brain. The most primitive part of our brain, it's sometimes called the reptilian brain because it's very similar to a crocodile's brain, and it's something like 600 million years old. It's the part of the brain that governs our stress response. When we perceive something as a threat, this triggers our internal security alarm in the brain and we produce stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline, and they gear us up physically to meet the threat. So we go into the fight flight. The heart pumps faster, pumps extra blood supplies to our limbs, our eyesight sharpens and narrows, and the breathing rate increases. And this is also we can respond to the threat So this part of the brain, the reptilian brain, works very fast because it's so simple. And that's why we can react so fast. We might find ourselves lashing out or snapping at someone or being argumentative, and that's the fight response. Or we might internally find ourselves being really self-critical. Or with the flight response, we might withdraw or try and get away. We might go quiet. Or we might make ourselves really small somehow. So we often don't feel like we have much control over our stress reactions. They just kind of take over. And then we end up thinking, oh, I just have a short fuse. However, the prefrontal cortex, which is the most recently evolved and intelligent part of the brain, is the part that can think really creatively, that can think outside the square, that can problem solve, that can invent things and be compassionate and learn new things, things like reading and writing and maths, languages. So this part takes longer to work because there are trillions of neurons firing every second and it's much more complex. So when we lose our cool, we want to be able to use mindfulness to press the pause button and buy a bit of time for this intelligent brain to come back online so that it can help us. So an example of when we actually need that reptilian or more primitive part of the brain and the stress response to work really quickly, you might remember that Mick Fanning, an Australian surfer, was in a competition some years ago off the coast of South Africa, and he was approached by a shark, and his instant reaction was to turn around and punch the shark. So he didn't think about it, he just did it. So when we're literally in a life-threatening situation, we want the stress reaction to do its job. We want to go into fight or flight. However, if the stresses we're facing are literally not life-threatening in the moment, and quite often stresses are emotional, they're not physical, then reacting with fight or flight doesn't help. In fact, it can often make things worse. So especially if the stressor is emotional and we're feeling upset about something, say the way that you or someone you care for is being treated, then this fight-flight isn't always the most skillful response. And we've probably all been in situations where two reptilian brains are triggered, and that doesn't usually end well. So we use mindfulness to interrupt this stress reactivity, settle our bodies and emotions down, and create some space for other parts of our intelligence to come online and help us. And this is really so we can act in a way that matches our values. We can also use mindfulness to catch and prevent rising stress, and we're going to focus on that more next week. So let's try an exercise now that interrupts stress reactivity. So if you find yourself, for example, up above a 7 out of 10 on that 0 to 10 scale that we used, then this exercise might help bring you down a little. So this one is an intense tensing and releasing practice. So just a reminder to take good care of yourself. And if your body's not up for this or you're not up for this right now, then feel free to do something else. I'll talk about some other options again at the end as well. So inviting you now to get into a comfortable seated position, if that's okay for you. Tuning into the whole body sitting here. Noticing the contact of the body with the surfaces beneath you. And then planting both feet firmly on the floor and inviting you to press into the floor through the feet as hard as you can for as long as you can without causing an injury. So it's as if you're trying to push the floor away from you, engaging all these muscles in the lower body and making your own decision about when that's enough. When you can no longer press. And when you make that decision, letting go slowly in the most graduated, controlled way possible. And as you let go bit by bit, being really curious about all the changes taking place in the lower body as it lets go and releases. What do you notice? And at some point you'll probably find that you want to take a deeper, slower breath. So just letting yourself do that, taking a couple of deep, slow breaths. And then scanning the lower body. Is there any part of the lower body that you're still tensing or holding up that you might like to let go of a little bit more? Might be that the toes are scrunched up or the thighs are still lifting a bit. Okay, now let's try this with the upper body. So again, up to you how much you do. So you might like to try pressing the palms into each other. So if you bring the hands up in front of your body, press the palms together. Or you can press the palms down into the chair. Or if you have sore wrists or any wrist issues, you might like to try pressing the upper arms back into the back of the chair behind you. So all you need is something with firm resistance. Okay, so when you're ready, pressing the palms together as hard as you can for as long as you can without causing an injury. Also inviting you to draw the belly button towards the spine and up, engaging all the inner abdominal muscles. So all your core muscles on. Scrunching up the face and neck, the shoulders, so every muscle in the upper body on as hard as you can for as long as you can. And when you decide that's enough, letting go in the most controlled, graduated way possible, little bit by little bit. Being really curious and interested in all of the changes taking place as you let go. And again, when you feel ready, taking a couple of deep, slow breaths. And scanning the upper body. Is there anything you're still tensing or holding up that you might be able to let go of a little bit more? Might be, for example, that the teeth are a bit clenched or the shoulders still up around your ears. Seeing if you can let go a little bit more. And then let's try this one more time, this time with the whole body. So pressing the feet into the floor as hard as you can, pressing the palms together, drawing the belly button towards the spine and up, scrunching up the face and neck. So every muscle in the body on as hard as you can for as long as you can without causing an injury. And making your own decision about when that's enough and letting go in the most graduated, controlled way possible. Little bit by little bit. And when you're ready, taking a couple of deep, slow breaths. And again, scanning the body. Is there any part of the body you're still tensing or holding up that you might be able to let go of a little bit more? And being really curious about what that feels like as you let go. Really tuning in to any sense of release or relaxation. Noticing what it feels like. And inviting you to check in internally now, just noticing how you're going right now. Whether you feel any different or not to when we started. Do you feel better, worse, the same? And where are you on that scale, 0 to 10 right now? So that can be a really fabulous exercise for interrupting high levels of stress or distress. And you don't necessarily have to do the three stages in that order. And you can do it pretty much anywhere. No one needs to know, really. So some other options that really do the same thing. Some people really find splashing their face with cold water or having a cold shower really helps. Or even drinking icy cold water or imagining having a cold shower. It does a similar thing to the brain, kind of helps flick the switch, helps bring the prefrontal cortex online. Or you can try intense exercise for a couple of minutes until you get puffed and you can't speak. And that can be on the spot, like you can run up and down a flight of stairs, or you can do high knee running on the spot, push-ups, lunges, anything that gets your heart rate up and gets you puffed just for a couple of minutes. Or a strategy that a lot of people use naturally is talking with a calm, safe, trusted person. So this works if the person stays calm, because you're basically borrowing their prefrontal cortex, their intelligent, calm brain, to help you calm down and regulate. But if they get distressed listening to you, and then you've got two reptilian brains on operating. So it can actually be helpful to give someone a heads up and say, I just need you to stay calm. And I need you just to listen. So the invitation is to try one of those exercises each day and see what difference it makes in the next week. So we're also going to try another little exercise. So this is a breathing exercise. Suits some people better than the one we just did. So I'm inviting you to give this a go. This is called square breathing. So I'm inviting you to settle into a comfortable position. Tuning into your whole body, sitting here, breathing. And taking a moment to adjust your posture. You might like to try extending the crown of the head up towards the sky. Letting the tailbone sink down into the chair. Extending the spine a little. And if it's okay for you, drawing the shoulder blades together behind you, opening the chest a little, making it easier to breathe. And bringing your attention to the breath, noticing the natural breath as best you can. Noticing if it's fast or slow, deep or shallow. And you might like to try adding a little more to each in-breath and a little more to each out-breath. Gradually deepening the in-breath, lengthening and slowing down the out-breath. No rush, no force. And keep adding a little more until you can breathe in for a count of four and out for a count of four. And doing that a few times. In for four and out for four. And when you're ready on the next breath, breathing in for a count of four, pausing for two, and out for four. And doing that a few more times. In for four, pausing for two, and out for four. No rush, no pressure. If it starts to become a struggle at any point, just let your breath return to its natural rhythm. breathe normally for a little while and then join in again when you feel ready. And on the next breath, breathing in for four, pausing for two, and breathing out five, six, or seven. And one more time, if that's okay for you. And then letting your breath return to its natural rhythm and being curious, noticing how you're feeling right now. Checking in internally, do you feel any different or not? Any better, worse, or the same? And noticing where you are on that 0 to 10 scale, with 0 being the calm, relaxed, 10 being the most stressed or distressed. Where are you right now? And coming back. So with that one, if the breath is not a great thing for you to be focusing on right now, you probably have some other ways of doing the same sort of process. Going for a walk, getting into the garden, just doing something that helps bring your focus into the present moment and is tactile. So thanks for joining us. A little recap of today's session. So we looked a little bit at what mindfulness is and how it works, and how practicing mindfulness is a kind of mental training. The more we practice, the better we get at it. We also tried some ways of using mindfulness to help interrupt high levels of stress and anxiety and calm us down. And we tried two exercises. So that intense tensing and releasing exercise with the lower body, the upper body, and then the whole body. And we tried the 4-2-4 breathing exercise. So the invitation is to practice one or both of these exercises for a few minutes each day. That's all it really takes. And this is so that you can remember them when you need them. When we're stressed, we usually default to whatever habitual reactive strategy we already have. So it's really hard to try something new in the middle of a stressful situation. We just don't remember it. So if you practice one of these every day for the next week or so, it will start to come to you when you need it. So we need to build the habit, and then it's more available to us. So I'm inviting you to give that a go. And then next week, we're going to look at mindfulness on the go, practicing ways of using mindfulness in your daily life as you go about your daily life. And we're looking more at prevention, how we stop those stress levels from climbing. You might also like to join in with some of the other parts of this project. So there's a podcast interviews with mental health carers. There's the Personal Wellbeing Index self-assessment tool on the Carers Australia website. And there's also lots of activity in the social media space. If you do find that you need some support or you'd like someone to talk to, please contact the support services listed on the Carers Australia website and take good care. See you next time.